Bible, turn to Luke chapter 22 tonight. Luke chapter 22. I'm actually still in my series in Matthew, but I'm for our reading tonight, we're going to be preaching from Luke's account, Luke chapter 22. If you're taking notes through this series, through the book of Matthew, let me go ahead and give you the parallel passages. It's Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 through 35. It's Mark chapter 14, verses 27 through 31. It's here in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. And then it's in John chapter 13, verses 36 through 38. We've turned to Luke's account, Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, there's one word found in verse number 31. It's the title of my message tonight. It's the one word, behold. Behold. Let's pray together. I share this thought with you. Father, we love you. We thank you for this service. Lord, I stand in need of you, especially as I prepared this message and the truth that's within it. I want to confess I need you. And I pray tonight that you'll fill me with your power and spirit. If there's anything that hinders you in my life, please forgive me. Please remove it. Please get it out. Help me to be completely clean. And may the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. In our progress through the book of Matthew, we have come to a portion of Scripture that is rich in application for our lives today. This story deals with the upcoming betrayal and denial of the Lord by His own disciples who knew Him as their Savior. They were, if you will, right with Him, but He knew that they would turn their back on Him, and He knew that Peter would deny Him three times. Now, while all four Gospels deal with this same story, I want to spend our time mostly in the book of Luke, because Luke's account brings out a couple of things that the other accounts do not think of. Well, not that they don't think of it, but they didn't bring it out. Now, I want you to notice in verse 31 how the Lord opens His language. He calls Simon's name twice. As a matter of fact, the Lord has given me a thought. I may never preach on this, but as far as a topical series about preaching on the different times God called somebody's name twice. Because I'm going to tell you something, when God calls your name once, you better perk up. But if He calls your name twice, He's trying to get your attention. And He goes on to say, "Behold," He said, "Simon, Simon, behold." By the way, saying a person's name twice was the person speaking's way of showing how much they love that person, and yet in their love, they're getting ready to warn them about something that's getting ready to happen. And I'm saying that calling Simon's name twice was a way for the Lord to emphasize that His attention right here was required and demanded for what Jesus was getting ready to tell him. Then He adds the word "behold," which means "see this." He's saying, "Simon, Simon, open your eyes. See what I'm about to say." In other words, in this text, we see the Lord is wanting Peter's undivided attention for what He's about to tell him. And as we look at these things, the Lord did not want Simon and the others to miss. We need to understand that these words are written down for our admonition tonight. In other words, just as much as Jesus was speaking to Peter, He's saying these same words to me tonight. And I want to give you three simple thoughts tonight. Under this word "behold," there are three things to behold in these verses right here in the book of Luke. Number one, we are to behold, first of all, Satan's passion. We see this in verse number 31. Notice it. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." And this word "desire" here A synonym for that word there is passion. And see, the first thing we see the Lord sharing here behind this word, behold, Simon, Simon, behold, number one, Satan desires to have you. And he says, here's what he wants. He wants to sift you as wheat. It's interesting to note how the word desired here, Satan had desired to have you. You know what that word means? It means he's demanded you for a trial. That's what it means. He wants to put you on trial. And he wants to see if you're really made of the right kind of stuff. That's what that word means. The sifting process has been described as grain being agitated or shaken and the chaff and dust being thrown away. It carries the idea of tossing and turning over and over continuously, just constant movement, just beating the daylights out of it, if you will. One person put it this way, this process of sifting wheat, it's an agricultural term that refers to the savage process of separating the husk of the wheat from the grain. And the wheat, now get this, it was crushed underfoot, then it was agitated, then it was thrown up into the air. And the chaff or the husk was blown away by the wind, and all that was left behind was good grain. Satan wanted to tear the heart of God, you see, friends, by proving that there was not reality in the faith of the disciples. It's interesting here. By the way, I'm so anxious to get to where I'm trying to get here. The devil thought he would prove by his persecution that Peter was just like Judas, that his faith wasn't real. See, Satan believed that he could crush all of them. He thought he could sift them, that nothing would be left but just a lost heart and a broken heart in God himself. By the way, he had already done this to Judas. We preached on him Sunday morning. And he believed that he could do it to the rest. See, the devil wanted a shot at Peter in order that he could crush him and hopefully make him blow away like chaff. In my study, it came out here that it's as if the devil thought Peter's faith was not real. And he wanted to prove it to Jesus. In other words, it's like the Lord allowing Satan to touch Job. It carries the same idea here. Satan has desired to have you. It carries the idea. He's asked for you, Peter. He wants you. He desires to put you on trial. I'm telling you that this is what he's saying. Behold, I'm warning you. The devil is getting ready to unload on you. He thought he could get Peter just like he got Judas. By the way, before we move on, let us heed this warning that there is a real devil who has a desire to have us so that he may sift us like wheat. And in that process, he's wanting to shake us. He's wanting to agitate us. He's wanting to turn us upside and down, hoping that our faith is not true and will blow away like chaff from wheat. By the way, his sifting comes in all kinds of packages. I'm telling you that he must have permission. It's a great mystery in the Bible. But you read the book of Job, God had to give him permission. That does not mean that God was behind it, but the devil had to get permission to touch one of God's chosen people. And we see here that what Jesus is telling him is saying, listen to me, Satan has desired to have you. He wants you. He wants permission to touch you. And I'm telling you, behold this, Simon. You need to understand that he's after you. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Number one, behold Satan's passion. But number two, boy, I like this. God's encouraged me with this that I'm talking about today. Not only behold Satan's passion, but number two, behold the Lord's prayer. We see this in verse number 32. Now notice the language, verse 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Glory, that right there. That's enough to shout about right there, friends. The Lord had just told Peter to beware of the devil's upcoming attacks on him. He wanted Peter to know the devil wanted to sift him and try to take him out. However, the lovely Lord followed this up by telling Peter that he had prayed for him, that his faith would not fail. You know what that word fail means? It means to die. It means to be omitted. And I want to give you some thoughts here under this Behold the Lord's Prayer. Number one under this, Jesus' prayers are always heard. They're always heard. John 11, 41 and 42, the story where he's getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead, it says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. The point here, get this. This is what made the difference between Peter and Judas. Judas didn't have Jesus praying for him. Judas' faith was not right. Judas' faith was non-existent. He was not a true child of God. He didn't have genuine faith. So when the devil was unleashed on him, he had no help from above, you see. But yet when the devil was unleashed on Peter, Peter had genuine faith. Now stay with me here, because I'm going to give, listen, I've been encouraged with this because I've seen again through this man's life, he was a human being just like me. And I'm telling you that what encouraged my heart today is the point that the devil will unleash his attack on God's children, thinking he can prove that their faith is not genuine. Thinking he can prove that they're really not saved. Let me prove it. Let me have him, and I'll show you, God, that he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord said, listen, that's getting ready to happen to you, Peter. But I want to tell you something. I've been praying for you. And what I've been praying is that your faith doesn't fail. Now listen to me. The point here is the Lord prays for God's children. When the devil has permission to sift them like wheat. Even though Peter's, now get this, don't miss this. Even though Peter's faith would waver and Peter's faith would stagger, it would not fail. He slipped up. He denied the Lord three times. His faith wasn't strong. He tripped down. But the fact of the matter is, it did not fail because the Lord prayed that it wouldn't fail. What am I saying here, friends? If you're going through Satan's sifting, if you are truly a child of God, your faith may be weak, your faith may falter, but your faith will not fail, friends. It won't happen. Let me tell you why. Because the Son of God is pleading your case. He's pleading your case. See, get this. What the devil tried to use to destroy Peter, the Lord is going to use to remove the pure chaff out of his life, is what he's getting ready to do. See, the devil thought, I'm getting ahead of myself here, I do that sometimes, but the devil thought that he could prove with the sifting process that Peter was chaff. But the whole time Jesus knew Peter's faith was true. He knew Peter's faith was genuine. So what the devil thought he was his way with, Jesus really had his way with it. Because in the whole process, what the devil thought would take Peter down, God took to get the dross out of his life and to get the chaff blown away from him. Aren't you glad tonight that when nobody understands, nobody knows what you're going through, so you think, all these guys, I mean, it feels like it's continuously turning up and down. I mean, he's beating the daylights out of you, and it feels like the devil himself is unleashed on you. It could be the case, But aren't you glad during that time that when he's sifting you and agitating you and trying to prove that you're not right, that the Son of God is praying to his Father that your faith will not fail. And friends, listen to me, you might waver, you might stumble, you might even fall, but your faith will make it through, because the Son of God somehow, some way helps you through those trying times. This is what's happening here. God hears his boy's prayers every time he prays. Secondly, under this, genuine faith cannot fail. I've already said this. Let me just emphasize it here again. The Lord told Peter, look at it. Verse 32, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted. Now don't miss what he just said. Don't miss that. What is Jesus saying? By the way, that word converted is not for salvation. You hear the word conversion today, we automatically think about what that word means today. That has nothing to do with this. He's saying this, you are going to turn your back on me, but you'll come back. You're not going to stay that way. He said, listen, he's going to unload on you, but I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you finally come back to me, you see what he's doing here? He's telling him, my prayers are going to be answered, boy. And when you're converted, I want you to do something. I want you to strengthen the brethren. In other words, the Lord knew his faith would be tested. And the Lord knew that Peter's faith would be tried to the point that he would deny the Lord three times. In other words, he said this, when you're converted. You know what he's telling him? He was telling him, I know what you're getting ready to do. You're not going to be very strong here in a little while. But I've prayed for you, son. And because of that, you're not going to stay in that. You'll come back. What I'm saying to you is that we see that Peter had real faith. That even though it was weak at a time of great sifting, it was still real. And eventually it came shining back through again, friends. It really did. Here's the point. And this is a Bible doctrine, that a genuine child of God's faith may falter, but it will never fail completely. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. I've preached through the book of 2 Timothy, and I went back and looked at my notes and everything. In context, he's talking about an open state of denial in the present tense. It's always now. It's a lifestyle. If you deny me and keep denying and keep denying and keep denying and keep denying, he said, I'll deny you. But we know Peter denied him three times. Is the Lord going to deny him? Yes or no, friends? No. Let me tell you why. Because it wasn't a present active thing in his life. Yes, at that time of sifting, he got weak. He fell down on his face. But he was a true child of God. And Jesus was praying for him. And when Jesus prays, his prayers are answered. And somewhere down the line, it may be a month, it may be a year, it may be 6 years, somewhere down the line, true, genuine faith will stand back up to its feet again, friends. If you can live in a state of denial constantly, 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 you've never been saved. You've never been saved. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Present tense. Now. We're looking at this. Behold what? Satan's passion. He wants to tear you up. He wants to shake you down. He wants to agitate you. He wants to toss and turn you because he thinks that he can prove that your faith isn't genuine at all. Behold what? Number two, the Lord's Prayer. For those that are truly saved, those who know the Lord as their Savior, Jesus is praying for you even during times of great sifting. He's praying for you. And what he's praying is, hey, I know that that may trip you up. I know you may deal with that. I know you may struggle with that. But I'm praying for your faith that it will not fail. And friends, listen to me. There is no child of God's faith that will completely fail. None. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you get this? That if you are truly saved, I'm not saying that if you're struggling with a hardship that proves you're lost. I'm not saying that because Peter struggled with it. But I'm saying you will not live in that state forever. You can't. It's impossible. Let me tell you why. Because his prayers are always heard and he's praying for every one of his children. Do you get this? Do you see it? Let me give you a third thing under this. This is all under the Lord's Prayer. Strengthen the brethren. It's interesting that the Lord told Peter that after he had turned back to God, that he was to then strengthen the brethren. The point here seems to be that when you've gone through the sifting of Satan, some of you can be sitting there thinking right now, boy, I think I've been in that sifting. Boy, I think he's had me in his sifting process. Some of you may be coming here tonight and you feel like you're in it now. It just seems like, when's it ever going to stop? When's it going to get easier? He's beating the daylights out of me. Maybe you've never been there. More than likely, you probably have. But what I'm saying to you is that what he seems to be doing here is saying this. Peter, you're getting ready to go through the sifting process of Satan. But I'm going to pull you through it. And when I do, I want you to help others to be on guard about the same thing. It goes back to the same thought here that sometimes those who have been there are the best to reach others who are there now. You know who the best, in my opinion, the best person to reach a cancer patient is? Somebody who's been there. I believe the Woodards would agree with that. They're leading that ministry. In other words, if you ever deal with somebody and they say, I'm dealing with this, and you don't understand what they're dealing with, don't ever tell them, I understand, because you don't. But there's somebody who does. You ever wondered why God allows you to go through some sifting processes by Satan? He's doing it for your good. He really is, friends. I mean, the devil thinks he's going to get his way, and the whole time the Lord's saying, boy, that looks good that blew away from his life right there. Boy, look at that got rid of. Look at that. The whole time Jesus is saying, you're just making him more like me. The whole time. Boy, I hope you see what I'm trying to get across here, friends. And yet through it, Jesus said, listen, I've prayed for you, and when you're converted, I want you to do something. Tell other people about it. Strengthen your brethren. Behold Satan's passion, the Lord's prayer. And number three, behold Simon's pride. We see this in verses 33 and 34. And he said unto him, now this is after the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan's desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He said, but I prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, in other words, the Son of God just told him, you are going to sin. You're going to fall in this. But when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. He's just said these sobering words. And notice how Simon responded. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both in the prison and the death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now, in the other accounts, you don't need to turn to it, but in the other accounts, it brings out a little bit more than Luke brings out about Peter's pride here. As a matter of fact, we see that while Luke deals with Satan's passion and the Lord's Prayer, we see these verses are dealt with by all four gospel writers. It's the account of Peter's pride. Luke tells us and brings out how Peter told the Lord, Lord, hey, just say it the way he really means it. He's saying, Lord, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm ready right now to go to prison and even death with you. Matthew tells us how the Lord had just told the disciples that they would be offended. He's quoting from Zechariah 13:7, and he says, this night all of you will be offended at me. And that word offended there means you'll be trapped tonight. You'll be tripped up tonight. You'll be enticed to sin tonight. Peter's listening to all of this. And he quoted from Zechariah 13:7, where it says, "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered." He said, "That's going to happen tonight." To this prophecy, you know what Peter said? Matthew adds this. You know what he said to the Lord? He said, "Lord, if all men will be offended." He's talking about the other disciples too, friends. He's saying, "Lord, if that be true about everybody else here, I will never do that to you." That's what he said. He used the word, "I'll never do it." The old thought, never say never, friends. Jesus told Peter at this point that he would deny him three times before the next morning. Peter said he would not deny him even if it meant dying with him. Mark adds to this at that point. In other words, once the Lord said, "You're going to deny me three times," the Bible says that at that point, Peter spoke more vehemently. You know what that word means? It means he spoke more violently. He spoke more excessively. It's almost like he got agitated and raised his voice and said, "No, I won't." Now stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. The Bible says they all said the same. Peter is the main spokesman, but the Bible says they all said the same thing. Yet in less than 12 hours, when Jesus spoke those words, in less than 12 hours, they had all forsaken him. And they had fled. And before the next morning, Peter will have denied the Lord three times that he even knows who he is. Now there's a great thought that comes out here. Spurgeon put it this way, "He who thinks himself so much stronger than his brethren is the very man who will prove to be weaker than any of them." See, we believe that what, now get this. We believe that what Peter and the others said was out of a sincere heart. I believe Peter meant every word he said. But, as one person said, "Honest-hearted, warmly attached disciple, thinking thy present feeling immovable as a rock, thou shalt find them in the hour of temptation unstable as water." Peter was over, here it is, friends. He was overconfident in his flesh. He said he would never deny the Lord, but before the next morning, he had denied him three times. And as I've said, never say never. Peter had too much confidence in himself and he failed. Get this, Peter's problem was not Satan in his heart. Satan was trying to prove that. But Peter's problem was not Satan in his heart, but confidence in his flesh. That's what his problem was. And Peter, along with the others, were about to find out how they still love themselves more than they love God. They were getting ready to find that out. And as one person put it, the seeds of every wickedness lie hidden in our hearts. They only need the convenient season to spring forth into a mischievous vitality. John R. Rice put it this way, "If such good Christians as the apostles were, who had sincerely left all to follow Jesus and later proved their loyalty even unto death," and I get to, he's saying, if such good Christians as these men, who truly they left everything to follow him, and later on in life they would even lay their life down for him. Now listen to this. If such good Christians as these could be so surprised and deceived by Satan, so attacked in their weakness as to be offended in Christ and leave him, then we ought to be very careful about criticizing others and take heed lest we fall. The best men who ever lived on this earth, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, David, Peter, Paul, Barnabas, have been tempted by Satan and have been guilty of terrible sins, whether it be drunkenness or lying or murder or adultery or dissension or going against the plain leading of the Spirit. This passage and such examples ought to greatly humble our hearts. Let us earnestly resolve never to deny Jesus, but let us make sure that we do not boast of our strength. Amen, John R. Rice. As one person said, self-righteousness, hypocrisy, and spiritual failure are possible for any one of us. If you ever say, "I'll tell you one thing, I'll never turn my back on God," you'll eat those words. You say, "I'll never do that. I'll never do something like that. I'll never do something like that." See Peter and see what he has to say about it.
You and I are capable of doing anything if our confidence is in ourselves. We must have the power of God in our lives. Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given unto me that every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Romans 11:20, be not high-minded, but fear. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. See, it's interesting that the Lord allowed Satan to sift Peter. Satan had to get permission to do it, and Jesus said, okay, go ahead. Great mystery. Don't try to figure it out. But it's interesting what the devil was trying to prove that Peter wasn't real with. Jesus used the same thing to prove he was. And even though it took him a while to get there, he learned a great lesson, and that's this. I can't trust myself. Listen to me. If God didn't allow that sifting to come, Peter could have still been dealing with pride. But because God allowed the wicked one, who is wicked, say, go ahead, you can go this far, but only this far. The devil's trying to show something to the Lord. Let me show you who he is. And the whole time, Jesus is saying, I'm going to tell you something. This wicked one over here thinks he's smarter than I am. And the whole time, I'm going to use what he's doing to get the pride out of his life. I'm saying this. Are you being sifted tonight? You know, it's interesting. The Lord knew Peter and all the others would forsake him. In just a little while. He saw their overconfidence in their own flesh, and he knew they would temporarily be knocked off their feet, get this, because of him. However, notice what our precious Lord said to them. This is in the account of Matthew. Here's what he said. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. That is so precious. He even told Peter, he said, I want you to strengthen your brethren. When you finally get up, I want you to strengthen your brethren. You know what the Lord was telling them? I know you better than you know yourselves. And because of me, you're going to forsake me and you're going to run away from me tonight. But when I have conquered death, I'm going to come be with you again. He was trying to tell them, listen, you may be weak, and you're going to be erring, and you're going to prove how frail you are, but I want you to know I still love you, and I'll never forsake you. And even though you're going to forsake me, when my body's alive again, I'll meet you in Galilee. If you've denied your Lord, what I'm trying to say. Maybe you've been going through the sifting process and your faith is weak. And the devil's beating the daylights out of you. I mean, you know you've been saved. I can't speak for you. I'm just saying, but a lot of times somebody who's really struggling, they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're saved. They know it, but their faith is just so weak and they're really struggling. They're really doubting. Really frail, really weak. I mean, it's terrible. I want you to hear these words of the Lord. All of you will be offended at me this night. But when I'm risen again, I'll see you in Galilee. And oh, Peter, I want you to strengthen your brethren when you finally get up on your feet again. Do you see the tenderness of Jesus? I know you're going to fall.
but I've prayed for you. And eventually you're going to get back up on your feet. And when you do, I want to meet with you again. And I've got a great work for you to do. You see that? This is the next passage in the book of Matthew, even though we dealt with Luke's account more thoroughly. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for this night. Help us to understand these thoughts and to realize that there's a great mystery there, that sometimes the devil asks to have certain people. And at that time, if you ever give permission, it's not for their bad, it's for their good. The devil means it to hurt them, and the devil means it to devour them. But we know that you pray for your children. And somehow, some way, even though their faith may fail or falter and waver and become weak, it will never ultimately fail, because it cannot, as long as the Son of God is interceding for us. Help us to be encouraged. And help somebody tonight who's come here whose faith is really struggling. Please. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let me read just three verses to you, and then we'll begin to play in just a moment. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That book is written to Christians. And he's saying, hey, I wrote these things unto you that you don't sin. But if you do, you've got an advocate with the Father. He's pleading your case. She begins to play through softly. Let's all stand together, please. Father, take this thought, use it in a mighty way. Please. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I want to ask you some questions, and we'll extend the invitation. We'll be done in just a few minutes. Number one, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that your faith is real? I mean, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that your faith is true, it's genuine? It may be weak, but it's not going to fail. Do you know that? Are you 100% sure of that? Are you truly a child of God? If you are, you ought to praise God right there in your heart, friends. Or maybe tonight you say, Jody, by the way, if you're not sure you're saved, come, let us take a Bible, share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ and how you can have faith that will last through the sifting of Satan. Maybe tonight you're here and you say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to be honest with you. I believe I'm in that sifting process now. I mean, as I'm standing here, I believe the devil has me in his sifting process. And I feel like he's trying to beat the daylights out of me. If you say, Jody, maybe you don't know, but you just say, I believe I could be in that same process tonight. He's turning me upside down, twisting, turning me, throwing me against that wall and that wall. He's trying to prove that I'm not genuine. You say, Jody, I believe I'm in that process tonight. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. You say, I believe I'm in that process. Yes, that's some of you here tonight. God bless you. May the Lord help you. Tonight, I want to ask you a question. Where's your confidence? If you ever sit there and say, I'll tell you one thing, I can't believe he did that. I'd never do something like that. Only by the grace of God you'll never do something like that, friends. What I'm saying is we need to stay on our knees, humble before God, realizing that if he doesn't help us, we're as capable of doing anything any other person's capable of doing. God, help us to be faithful to him, confident in him, not ourselves. I'm going to ask you to respond. Father, bless now. Help people to come if you want them to come. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place and come? As he sings, you come now. Would you do that? Chaff away. Make us more like Jesus. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you for coming on a Wednesday night. Try to bring somebody with you. I'll be up front here just in case if you need to see me, okay?